We're very thankful tonight to have everybody on the call. We're so excited to have so many people calling in. We love to know who's on the call, but due to the high volume of callers and the noise associated with trying to introduce everyone, we unfortunately have to make sure we stay professional. We do appreciate all of those who are not members of the Church of Christ for calling in. We thank you so very much. We want you to know we love you. And we put this call on with you in mind. So at this time, before I make any further statement, let us go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings of life, and thank you so very much for this day you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity afforded to us through the COVID situation that many have called in tonight to hear the simple truth. And we pray your blessings upon our efforts this month. May 2020, 20 speakers, 20 nights, 20 simple, powerful messages. Lord, we thank you for our visitors. We thank you for our sister congregations who are supporting us all across this nation. We pray your blessings upon each and every individual on the call tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm so thankful tonight for the level of interest and the volume of callers. We have a good problem. We got so many people calling that we can't even announce what state they're calling from, which means to me that what we're doing, others supporting it, not only that, our friends and our neighbors who are not members of the Church of Christ want to know more about what we believe. In the Church of the Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. We also believe that Jesus hung on the cross and shed his blood that will wash our sins away and purchase his church, known as the Church of Christ, which is written in the scripture. So we put this call on for those who are not members of the Church of Christ, so you can learn more about us and what we believe and why. The end goal is that your soul may be saved. So please take notes of what things our speaker will say tonight as it pertains to the saving of your soul. That's what's important. We believe what Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14. He said there will be two ways. In verse 13, he says, "Enter ye in that strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way to lead to destruction." And Jesus said many would go that way. Verse 14, he says, "The strait is the gate, and narrow is the way to lead to life." And Jesus said this, "Few there be that find it." We're looking for the few that are looking for the truth. Tonight, a brother I met when I did the 7B seminar in Adamsville, Alabama, I heard him speak for the first time there, and I was very impressed. My friend, Brother Ronnie Hayes, invited him to speak along with myself. And that was the first time I met Brother Futrell, and I'm confident that he too believed like I believe. It's about the soul-saving message from God. Tonight, Brother Futrell will speak from the subject, the truth about the one church. And it's at this time, I would love for you to welcome our guest speaker, one who I'm confident that will bring the message from Birmingham, Alabama, Brother Mel Futrell. Brother Mel.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, and good evening, brethren and friends, and greetings from Birmingham, Alabama, and the Churches of Christ in this county, Jefferson County, Alabama, in the state of Alabama, and for that matter, brethren and friends, greetings from the Churches of Christ all over the country and all over the world. Won't you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 2 in your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 2, and in a moment we will begin right there. While you're turning there, I want to remind you that Isaiah is prophesying about 700 years before the incarnation of the Christ. About 700 years before the incarnation of the Christ. You believe, I believe, we all believe, I believe, in the incarnation of the Christ, his coming in the flesh. And if I may, I would argue that the incarnation of the Christ is the turning point of history. Before we go back to Isaiah chapter 2, want you to consider the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and we'll skip around just a little bit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1, 1, 2, and 3. Now drop your eyes down to verse 14 of John chapter 1. And again, our Bibles are marked at Isaiah chapter 2. In John 1, 14, here's what you will read. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you get the beginning part of that? John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The incarnation of the Christ. Consider as well the words of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where the older preacher Paul writes to the younger preacher Timothy. He says, and I quote, I'm quoting from the King James Version, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. But we're highlighting the first part of that. God was manifest in the flesh, indeed. And so Isaiah is prophesying about 700 years before the incarnation of Jesus the Christ. And here's what he says. You know the words. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Watch it now. Again, quoting from the King James Version. Follow along in your Bible. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. I invite you, my brethren and my friends, if you would, to circle the Lord's house in verse 2 of Isaiah 2, and circle the house of the God of Jacob, the house of the God of Jacob, in verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 2, and draw a line connecting them. And then, if you would, reference yourself over to the New Testament, to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And here's what you'll find there. Again, Isaiah 2, 2 and 3, connected to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And now the Apostle Paul, again, writing to his young friend, brother in Christ, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is, watch it now, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 2, 2 and 3 concerns the house of the God of Jacob. It concerns the Lord's house. It concerns the house of God, which Paul said is the church of the living God, which is the church that belongs to Christ. And brethren and friends, that is the church of Christ, of which I am gladly and humbly a member and have been for the better part of 50 years. Yet, according to the World Christian Encyclopedia, there are 33,820 Christian denominations in the world. Did you get that? 33,820 Christian denominations in the world. Another source says there is an estimated 43,000 Christian denominations in the world. I don't know which one is right, 33,000 or 43,000. But how can this be? They can't all be right, brethren. They affirm different things. They believe different things. They confess different things. They demand different things. They practice different things. They teach different things. In other words, they contradict each other. They are in conflict with one another, but more importantly, they contradict the Bible. Most importantly, they're in conflict with the Word of God. Now, if I may share this with you, I grew up and I was raised in rural northeast Arkansas, about 3 miles outside of Pocahontas, Arkansas. I grew up in a faithful Christian home, and I grew up hearing old-time gospel preachers say this, get it now, human churches wearing human names, teaching human doctrines, and organized under human arrangements exist without the authority of God. I want to repeat that. Repetition is still the key to learning, and some of what I will say tonight will have already been said a week ago tonight by Brother Ronnie Hayes, but I'm not ashamed of that, and he's not ashamed of that, and I apologize not for that, and he does not apologize for that, because again, repetition is the key to learning. May I say it one more time? I grew up hearing old time gospel preachers say human churches wearing human names, teaching human doctrines, and organized under human arrangements exist without the authority of God. And therefore, friends, I am not a member of a human church. I am not a member of a church that wears a human name. I am not a member of a church that teaches human doctrine. I am not a member of a church that is organized under human arrangements, because those exist without the authority of God. I am a member simply and purely of the church that you read about on the pages of the New Testament. I say that as kindly as I can, yet as directly and boldly as I can. I am a member of the church that belongs to Jesus the Christ. I am a member of the church of Christ. Now, question, can we demonstrate from the New Testament that there is but one true church? Remember our theme tonight, Brother Tommy has already mentioned it, the truth about the one church. That was our theme a week ago tonight when Brother Hayes spoke. It's our theme tonight. It will be the theme a week from tonight and 2 weeks from tonight, the truth about the one church. So again, our question, can we demonstrate from the New Testament that there is but one true church? And the answer is yes, of course we can. Won't you consider this argument that is both biblical and logical? Christ, here's our first point. Follow along. Make appropriate notes, please. And look up the references that I offer. As Brother Stroud mentioned last night, don't be ashamed of using the table of contents in the front of your Bible. If you don't know where a Bible book is, don't apologize for that. Look it up. Please look it up and follow along to the best of your ability. We love and appreciate each of you, and we want the best for you as we want the best for all. Our first point is simply this. Christ is the Savior of one body. We have proof text from the Word of God for that. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, you know it, that section that deals with the seven ones. There is one body. Let's continue from there. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. But as it begins, there is one body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. One chapter later, in Ephesians 5, 23, the same Paul to the same church in Ephesus said for the husband, Ephesians 5, 23, I hope you're there, for the husband is ahead of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Pull those together, and rightly so. There is one body, and Christ is the Savior of that one body. That is our initial point. But our second point, call it the minor premise, if you will. But the body is the church. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:18 of our Lord, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, Colossians 1:18. Therefore, conclusion, Christ is the Savior of one church. May I repeat that hurriedly? Christ is the Savior of one body, but the body is the church. Therefore, Christ is the Savior of one church. Indeed. I want to repeat what I mentioned a moment ago for the third time. I grew up hearing old-time gospel preachers say, human churches wearing human names, teaching human doctrines, and organized under human arrangements exist without the authority of God. And that is why, Brother Tommy, that is why every brother associated with this call, that is why our good brethren at the Highland Heights congregation in Houston, Texas, that is why I tonight, reaching out to you from Birmingham, Alabama. That is why we are appealing to you to consider the church that belongs to Christ, the church of the New Testament, the truth about the one church. And so, may I ask you to consider how one would identify, dear brethren and friends, how would one identify the church that belongs to Christ? How would one identify the one true church? How would one identify the church of Christ? I want to put before you 4 points tonight in the time that we have remaining, and then we'll continue and conclude following that. Point number one, how would one identify the church of Christ? How would one identify the one true church? Number one, it must have begun at the right time and the right place. It must have begun at the right time and the right place. We've already gone to Isaiah chapter 2:2 and 3 at the very beginning of our call and the message of the hour. And so I direct you away from that and into Acts chapter 2 in your New Testament. You know these passages. Acts chapter 2, my brethren and my friends, and won't you consider that we can identify the one true church. We can identify the church of Christ because it had the right beginning. It began at the right time and the right place. My Bible begins in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 with these words. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. May I remind you that according to Leviticus 23:15 and 16, the day of Pentecost always fell on the first day of the week. And so when Luke said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that was the first day of the week. The church of the New Testament began on the first day of the week, the day of Pentecost, in the city of Jerusalem. We gather that from verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Again, I'm quoting from the King James Version. The sermon that was preached that day begins, as recorded in our Bibles in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, with these words, again, words that you heard a week ago tonight from Brother Ronnie. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. And that sermon continues, the evidential part of that sermon continues through verse 36. Are you there? Acts 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What was the result and the response from that? Now, when they heard this, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, we're at verse 38, as you well know. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, we're at verse 40, brethren. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward, this crooked generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. How can we identify? How do we identify the one true church? The church that belongs to Christ. The church of Christ. Well, it must have begun at the right time and the right place. And that is what we read on the pages of the New Testament. The New Testament church, of which I am a member, and I plead with you to become a member through loving obedience to the grace offering of salvation offered by God and consummating that obedience in baptism. Brethren and friends, that church began on or about AD 33 in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, which always fell on the first day of the week. Number two. How might we identify the church of Christ? How might we identify the one true church? Well, number two, it must wear the right name. Briefly here, the name we wear matters. You know that. What did I say earlier? What have I repeated again and again? Human churches wearing human names, teaching human doctrines, and organized under human arrangements exist without the authority of God. The one true church is the church that wears the right name, as well as having begun at the right time and the right place. The right name for the body of believers, the body of Christ at this locale, or whatever the locale might be. And I reference you to verses that you know so well, but may we repeat them anyway. Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. Brother Stroud mentioned this last night, and rightly so. There, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Rome, said, salute one another. Your Bible may say, greet one another. with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Paul mentioned churches of Christ, and therefore one congregation would be a church of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, there the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, said, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth." We've already referenced 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 when Paul, while writing to Timothy, said, "The house of God, which is the church of the living God." Biblical designations, and there are more. For the most part, when the Lord's people are referenced on the pages of the New Testament, they're simply referred to as the church. And so we're not advocating just one name, one identification, but any biblical designation. And these meet that criteria, my brethren and friends. But the name we wear individually matters as well. May I remind you of Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, where again Luke records these words. The inspired historian records these words. "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That is Antioch of Syria. The disciples are called Christians, Christianos, belonging to Christ. Indeed, I believe that the name Christian is the new name that was prophesied by Isaiah way back, again, about 700 years before the incarnation of Christ, back in Isaiah 62 and verse 2, where if you look at it, you'll find this statement, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name," Isaiah 62:2, connected to Acts 11 and verse 26. The name we wear matters. Point number three. How might we identify the one true church? It must have the right organization. Again, a point made a week ago tonight, and we freely make it again tonight, dear brethren and friends. Philippians 1 and verse 1 says this, "Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, unto all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons." The saints. And among those saints, some who were identified as bishops, also known as elders, and deacons. That organizational structure that is grounded in the very Word of God. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, there the Apostle Paul, in writing to his son after the common faith, made this statement, dear brethren and friends. He said, watch it now, consider it now. Again, we're talking about how to identify the one true church. It must have begun at the right time and place. It must wear the right name, and it must have the right organization. In Titus 1 and verse 5, here's what Paul wrote. "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee." Of course, a preacher Paul wrote that to another preacher, Titus, just as a preacher Paul wrote Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. And so, the organizational structure of the church that belongs to Christ, the church of Christ, the one true church, is found in and grounded in the New Testament. It's not a religious, denominational, organizational structure. It's not an Episcopal form or a Presbyterian form. It's a biblical form. And that makes all the difference in the world. May I say it again? Human churches wearing human names, teaching human doctrines, and organized under human arrangements exist without the authority of God. Indeed, number four, how might we identify the church of Christ? How might we identify the one true church? Point number four, brethren and friends, it must have the right doctrine. It must have the right doctrine. What we believe matters. What we teach matters. What we preach matters. If it doesn't matter, then we're all lost. Again, I don't buy into 33,000 or 43,000 Christian denominations being right. I believe in the one true church. And I believe that you can identify that church because it has the right doctrine. Go back with me hurriedly as our time is running out to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, and then we'll pick up verse 42. Back to Acts 2, 41 and following. Then they that gladly received his word. This is the first gospel sermon, I remind you, brethren. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What? The apostles' doctrine. And in fellowship, and in the breaking of the bread, and in prayers. Doctrine mattered 2,000 years ago when there was just the one church in Jerusalem. And it matters today, indeed, with the one true church, wherever it might meet worldwide, dear brethren and friends. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul, again writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, "Take heed, therefore, unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Paul told Timothy, a preacher, tells another preacher to what? Continue in the doctrine. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Watch it now. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. "But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine." In 2 John verse 9, the Apostle John says, "Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." According to John, and according to Paul, my brethren and my friends, according to these inspired penmen, indeed, brethren, doctrine matters. According to Luke, doctrine matters, Acts 2:42. According to Paul, doctrine matters, 1 Timothy 4:16, Titus 2 and verse 1. According to John, doctrine matters, 2 John verse 9. So how might we identify the one true church? It will have begun at the right time in the right place. Reference Acts chapter 2. It will wear the right name. Romans 16:16, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, Acts 11 and verse 26. It will have the right organization. Philippians 1:1, 1 Timothy, Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Acts 14:23, etc. And it will have the right doctrine. Indeed, Acts 2:42, 1 Timothy 4:16, Titus 2 and verse 1 and 2 John verse 9. Tonight, we're asking you to consider the church that Jesus bought and built, that he purchased with his own blood. I reference you to Matthew 16 and verse 16, where our Lord and his disciples are in Caesarea Philippi. And what do we find there? We find our Lord asking them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And you know the response from Peter in verse 16 of Matthew 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Our Lord responds to Peter's response, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee," verse 18, "that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Won't you consider the church that Jesus bought, built, and purchased with his own blood? Luke records a conversation between Paul and the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17 and going through the end of the chapter. And in verse 28, here's what Paul said to those Ephesian elders in the port city of Miletus. He said, "Take heed unto yourselves," watch it now, "and unto all the flock over the which you are the overseers," here we are now, watch it, "to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." John wrote in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood," verse 6, "and hath made us kings and priests unto God." Won't you tonight, dear friend, won't you consider the church that Jesus bought and built? Because human churches wearing human names, teaching human doctrines, and organized under human arrangements exist without the authority of God. We would never recommend such to you, but we recommend to you the church that our Lord bought, built, that he purchased with his own blood. We're asking you to consider the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," John 14 and verse 6. And so tonight, in closing, we invite you to consider your life. We can invite you to look up and to seek out the Church of Christ in your community, in your town, in your city, in your county. Won't you visit a worship service there? Won't you meet with their preacher? Won't you begin a Bible study? won't you reflect upon the teaching that you'll hear drawn from the very Word of God? And won't you consider that in order to become a member of the church that belongs to Christ, you will make that good, great, and bold confession: I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then you'll be baptized in water for the full remission of your sins. That baptism will put you into Christ, not into any human organization, but into Christ. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. Please know that we love and appreciate each of you. Thank you for calling in tonight and hearing a message drawn, we believe, from the Word of God under the theme of the truth about the one church. I thank you from Birmingham, Alabama. And now back to Brother Tommy.
Wow. Brother Mayor from Alabama. I'm about to get some more guys from Alabama on. I am so thankful because you've done exactly what I asked you to do. To our visitors who are not members of Church of Christ, we wanted you to hear this. Because I know when I first heard it, I had never heard it before. But I always wondered why there were so many churches. Brother Mayo has taught us a lesson tonight that this, the other church, did not come from man. If you're concerned about your soul salvation, please consider tonight what Brother Mayo just taught you. It was book, chapter, and verse. Nail your belief down to the Bible being right over you. The Bible being right over you. Everyone will die believing something. Will you die believing that the Bible is right? We know Jesus suffered on the cross to save our souls. And the blood that he shed, that Brother Mel just mentioned tonight, will wash your sins away in baptism. And you step in that water believing, you'll never see blood. Faith comes by hearing. And it will wash your sins away. And even if you've been baptized before, it does not mean you've obeyed the truth. Because the Lord added to the one church, Acts 2:47. Brother Ronnie Hayes done a great job last week. Brother Mel done it. We got two more sermons coming on the one church next Tuesday and two more weeks. And the reason I have chosen to do the same topic each week, so you can hear it over and over, because I'm confident that the men that I'm putting on these calls will give you Bible answers. So we thank you, Brother Mel. You've done a great job. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you want to be baptized, I want to encourage you to get with a person who invited you to this call and tell them, I want to know more. I want to be baptized. If you want to be baptized tonight, we'll take you to the closest Church of Christ and we'll baptize you tonight, and you'll be added to the Lord's church. And your family needs to know about this truth. Your friends need to know. But until you believe it, you cannot help anyone else with this truth. We're looking for the few, because Jesus said few would find it. And I'm very selective by who I bring on this program, because this is about saving souls. If you want to email us and you want to talk to Brother Mel yourself personally, email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and I'll get you in touch with him. Email us if you have questions for our speakers. And we ask our members of the church to email us with positive feedback. We want to hear from you. Go ahead and email us. Say you appreciate the message. Say you thank God for the gospel meeting. This is a gospel meeting for a whole month. Please email us. Let us hear from you. I'm talking to the members of Church of Christ now. nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you would like for us to send you the flyer personally, just send us your email address, and we will make sure you get it. The call is recorded online. You can go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. hollandheightscoc.net. Click on, it's on the homepage. You won't have no problem finding it. It's a gospel meeting that has never been done before. This is history. This is the first ever gospel meeting for a whole month via conference call. And tonight I'm thankful to announce and proud to announce and blessed to announce that we have over 1,500 listeners. I've never preached a gospel meeting where 1,500 people were listening. And that's just an estimate. The numbers are greater than that, I'm sure. Thank you for supporting us, members of Church Christ, to our visitors. Thank you for listening. Keep your heart open to the truth. My co-host, Brother Anthony Flunder, will come on, and he will give us a list of, we got some more powerful preachers calling, and he will give us those names, and then we'll see what's coming up for the rest of the week, and then our closing will be by our sister minister, Brother Horace Drow. He'll give us a closing coming up. Brother Flunder.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. Thank you, Brother Futrell, for that message. On tomorrow evening, it'll be Brother Tim Ellerby from Round Rock, Texas, speaking from the subject, The Truth About the Sinner's Prayer. On Thursday, the 14th, it'll be Brother Don Blackwell speaking from the subject, The Truth About True Worship. And on the 16th, we'll have Brother Al Washington, I'm sorry, the 15th, rather, we'll have Brother Al Washington from Luling, Texas, speaking from the subject, The Truth About Salvation. Please stay tuned to the website as we will continue to announce our upcoming speakers from the nationwide gospel meeting call. At this time, Brother Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. And Brother Futrell, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, as those fans in Alabama, you brought a championship, as Nick Saban has done on several occasions in your state. You brought home a winner on tonight. I want to thank you so much for the simplicity in which you taught God's word to first of all show that Christ is the Savior of only one body. Those that were listening, Ephesians 5:23, how that body is also of the church, Colossians 1:18, and then how do I identify that one church? You share it with us tonight. It must begin at the right time and place, Acts 2:1. It also must wear the right name, the Churches of Christ, Romans 16:16. It must have the right organization headed by those that are appointed according to the Word of God, Philippians 1:1. And it also must have the right doctrine, the Apostles' Doctrine, Acts 2:42, Titus 2:1. 1 Timothy 4:16. I just want to thank you again for the simplicity. As Brother Brooks said, our goal and our hope, the target audience that we're trying to reach are for those whom we call very important persons. Why are you very important? Because those people, just like we were at one time, we were outside of the body of Christ. Someone had to teach us the gospel. However, not only do we have to believe that gospel, we have to obey the same. And once we obey, the Lord will add us to the church, according to Acts 2:47. So again, Brother Futrell, and for all our listeners in the great state of Alabama, we want to thank you for being with us on tonight. We're looking forward to each night. And as we said, those that started the journey with us, we don't want to necessarily see 2020, because we walk by faith. We want to hear 20 messages in 20 nights and have 20 speakers give them 20 sermons each due through the course of this week. We thank you, the Lord, for all those that are on the call. And as it continues to grow, as Brother Brooks said, I just want to be able to say that I was a part of this great nationwide gospel meeting. I was present each night, the Lord say the same, for me to be on it. Let us give thanks to our Heavenly Father. Let us bow. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come at this time thanking you, dear Lord, for what our ears have heard, what our hearts are made to believe. We thank you for your manservant, Brother Futrell, who shared the word of God on the truth about the one church. We're thankful for those that heard, and dear Lord, for those are honest and good hearts, as Jesus identified, we ask them to get with those that placed them on the call, that they can obey the same. We just thank you, dear Lord, for this meeting, this campaign, in which we're trying to reach and broaden the borders of God's kingdom by entering into the hearts of those who have yet to obey and broaden that kingdom of the Church of Christ. We thank you, dear Lord, again for both of our facilitators, Brother Brooks, Brother Flounder, dear Lord, in their coordination of this. And we're thankful again for everyone that is on the call tonight. This prayer we offer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Let us all say amen.
Thank you, Brother Stroud. We encourage you, man, please email us. Let us hear from you. Y'all think we need to do this in June? Do you want a flyer? Would you like to encourage those of us who are going through the work of organizing? Send us an email, nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. To our visitors, we love you. We pray you obey the truth before it's eternally too late. May God bless each of you to have a good night's rest.